Hello, my friends. This is Bishop Campbell welcoming you again to a short meditation on the theme of living the Catholic life. This past Sunday, our great Easter season came to a conclusion. It was a wonderful time of rejoicing in the power and the love of God shown in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and his offer of everlasting life to us. But the season now has drawn to a close with the Feast of Pentecost. I think there's always a kind of sadness as one particular season ends and we look ahead and the new one seems to stretch far before us. We, of course, look forward to a new occasion, a new set of celebrations. But there's a sadness that something so powerful has ended. As I think many of you know, for a long time I was involved in the academic world, and there was always a kind of sadness, a kind of nostalgia that overcame us when the academic year ended. But of course, by the time we reached September and the new year, there was a kind of excitement that banished all of what had gone before. But I think of something that the apostles encountered, well, in fact, heard, when they were witnesses to the ascension of the Lord. As he was taken up into heaven, those two angels that had been standing by turned to the apostles and said to them, "Why are you simply standing here looking up at the sky? Go to Galilee, as the Lord has commanded." And I always loved that line because it was a reminder that even though something very great and powerful has ended, it's a reminder that it has also been a gift, and it has been a gift to us to live and to expand and to enhance. And in fact, I think what those two angels were telling the disciples is, just don't stand here. You have work to do. So start getting busy. Go and wait for the invocation of the Holy Spirit, the descent upon you, and begin the work that our Lord has entrusted to you, because you now are his voice and his hands. With the Feast of Pentecost, my friends, we come to the conclusion of the historical ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ here on this earth. In that ministry, which concludes with the sending out of the Holy Spirit, God has revealed through Jesus Christ all that he wanted to say and all that he wanted to do. And he has left his disciples that extraordinary body of knowledge, of acts, of virtue, that allows us then to act as authentic Christian disciples. It is a deposit of faith that is given to us to protect, to proclaim, and to deepen our understanding. And this task to which we are called can be completed only with the gift and the continuing presence of the Holy Spirit that now continues to awaken in our hearts and minds the power of the message of Jesus Christ, the extraordinary promise that his life has given us, and to understand more deeply how we are to live this and how we are to speak of it. But I think it is important to understand very carefully how the Holy Spirit operates among us and how we discern his movements, both individually and as a body of believers. Almost from the beginning of the life of the church, there has been some confusion about the many gifts given by the Holy Spirit. This confusion was particularly acute among the Christian community at Corinth. And St. Paul had to address this issue in a very forceful but careful way. The church at Corinth in a sense, prided itself on the manifold gifts of the Spirit that it had received. It was an extraordinary excitement that was awakened, that in the Holy Spirit the power in the presence of Jesus Christ could be felt so powerfully. But the church at Corinth began to suffer from its very richness, because those gifts of the Holy Spirit, as they thought were being given, began to cause divisions. Some claiming greater gifts than others, some claiming gifts of prophecy and nearly new revelations. And St. Paul had to intervene and to talk about the Spirit and how the Spirit works. For Paul did not want to quench the power of the Spirit, but at the same time he wanted people to understand how those gifts can be directed toward the ultimate gift of the Holy Spirit, and that is to know more perfectly the person of Jesus Christ. So there was a difference made between what we could call the ordinary gifts of the Spirit and the extraordinary gifts. Those ordinary gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to us, to the church, in order that the church might fulfill its obligations, might proclaim the word powerfully, might in fact deepen our spirituality. These ordinary gifts are gifts of insight, understanding. They are also gifts of leadership and organization. An ordinary gift to the Spirit is given, in, for example, to the magisterium of the church, so that the church might continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ truthfully and powerfully. There are also extraordinary gifts of the Holy Spirit. These extraordinary gifts are given for perhaps a particular purpose, to awaken a particular remembrance of a piece of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are extraordinary gifts that are given simply out of the love of the Spirit. They can't be, in a sense, commanded or earned, but they are given. They could be gifts of healing, gifts of understanding. And in fact, there are sometimes extraordinary gifts that are given to the church at a particular time of need. Gifts that are given through holy men and women who will remind us of some things, some aspects of our church that perhaps we had forgotten. I think of the extraordinary gifts given to St. Francis and St. Dominic at a time when there was a great need in the church to remember the force and the meaning of the gospel. The ordinary gifts of the Holy Spirit are given for the continuance of the work of the church, and also to encourage and deepen our fidelity to the person of Jesus Christ. St. Thomas reminded us again and again that the first gift of the Holy Spirit is the gift to allow us to know the presence of the risen Lord Jesus Christ in his word, in his sacrament, in the life of the church, in the life of the saints. And St. Paul, when writing to the Corinthians, established a kind of test, because he said we have to discern very carefully whether, in fact, a spiritual gift given to us is actually from the Holy Spirit, or has it been masked by another kind of spirit. And St. Paul said to the church, if the gift given builds up the church, strengthens it, expands it, deepens its reality, then it is authentic. If a supposed gift causes division and confusion, it is false. I think of the extraordinary gift of language. Well, actually, some people called it the gift of tongues, but I think that has been somewhat misunderstood. Sometimes St. Paul had to intervene in Corinth when people claiming to have a gift of tongues began to speak in languages that no one can understand. And St. Paul said, I give you this as an admonition. If one is to speak in tongues, it is only to be spoken of in the assembly if there is someone present who can interpret it. And he said, you know, I would rather receive 12 words of clear teaching than 10,000 in a language I do not understand. And when I think of that scene of the first Pentecost, when the tongues of fire descended upon the apostles, and they were able to speak languages that all of the visitors to Jerusalem could understand, I realize how Paul had come upon something very important. For the gift of language is given that we might understand. And that gift of language that descended upon the apostles at Pentecost was a gift to be able to speak plainly to anyone about the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you were an Elamite, the apostles have the gift of the Spirit to speak your language as they could Greek or Hebrew. For that gift of the Holy Spirit is a gift given that others might know and understand the presence of Jesus Christ. That gift of the Holy Spirit, I think, is also given to us both corporately and individually as a movement of the heart and mind to understand something more deeply. I don't know if you've ever had an experience of listening to sacred scripture and perhaps on many occasions hearing a passage from sacred scripture that caused some difficulties for you, not understanding what it was, how it would fit, and then suddenly it opened up before you. You understood it. And at that point, I think you ought to say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving you that insight and wisdom. It's nothing out of the ordinary, but it is that movement of heart that allows us to understand and gives us the facility to accomplish that which we are called to do. But as St. Paul said, test every spirit. Do not quench its presence among us, but test it. And this form of authentication is the work of the whole body of Christ, that is, the whole church. For as St. Paul said, if the gift builds up the church, it is true and to be welcomed. If it causes division, it is probably false and needs to be tested. But in all things, we pray God in thanksgiving for that gift of the Holy Spirit, that even after the ascension of our Lord into heaven, his work, his presence can be continued and his voice heard.